Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Get a Hand Up podcast. I'm sorry my hands have not been out there lately. Been very busy, but I would say hold on to your knickers because today is going to be one heck of a podcast. For you millennials out there, knickers is old school for a type of pants. Just want to clarify that. Today's podcast, I think I may title it Suicide and Social Media Marketing. I haven't really decided on that yet, but it's probably going to spark some curiosity and make some people wonder if I'm crazy, but I actually have some really important points to make that can help you connect with your audience probably better than you ever have before. So please tune in. Well, you're already tuned in. But please, you know, take a few notes and hear what's coming because I think this is huge. I am very fortunate in the studio with me today to have my stat man, my wingman. Let's find out what his name is today.
I'm just Michael today.
Just Michael. Alright.
I was going to go with Robin Williams. Actually, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go with Robin Williams out of respect for what we're talking about today.
I think that's a good choice. So, what happened was I was recently having a consultation, which is something that happens a lot. You know, not everyone is long-term client. Some people just need a hand up, literally, which is how I got the name for the podcast. So I was on a consultation, you know, trying to give a hand up, and I was someone, those of you who know me, I don't name clients. I'm very strict about client confidentiality and integrity. But it was an entertainment-oriented company / organization. They knew that their target customer base was very much into music, entertainment, things of the sort. And they were telling me that not long ago they had this great, or so they thought, this great marketing plan put together involving a promotion, a sweepstakes, so on and so forth. You get the idea. Everyone's excited. This is going to be great. And then a couple of musicians committed suicide. And naturally, the customer base who they were thrown off of their day-to-day, their everyday. You know, next thing you know, it's a trending thing on Facebook. It's a trending thing everywhere. And this isn't just isolated to this client. I mean, rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade. I mean, there are so many. I don't know how many people know this, but right now in the United States, the suicide rate is literally three times what it was 10 years ago. And the first question that I asked this client was, where was your backup plan? Where was your Robin, yes?
Here is some very disturbing statistics. In the past 10 years since social media has become tenfold, when we're talking about Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, let's factor in like social media and, you know, and these statistics that were given to me by the AFSP.org site, which is suicide in the United States alone is the 10th leading cause of death. Each year, 44,965 people take their life. And there's 25 for every suicide. For every one suicide that is, unfortunately, where someone, you know, takes their life, there's 25 attempts. and suicide cost the United States alone in medical $69 billion.
Wow.
And the leading cause of suicide, believe it or not, is depression. And because of depression in social media, and let's just be honest, let's call, you know, a horse right now. People are a bunch of jerks online, and everyone thinks that because they have the right to say something because of a piece of paper written over 200 years ago, that they could say hurtful things and hurt others without any consequence. And I think what you're leading on to, Camille, I'm sorry for hijacking this, is that with the clients that you work with, that the biggest problem is that anyone could literally post anything and there is no consequence to their actions. That's what leads a lot of people to take their life. And I'm going to openly admit in this podcast, I was almost one of them.
I know that. And that is why I feel that this podcast is not just crucial in general on a societal level, but also in the world of marketing, in the world of business. It also applies to content marketing. You know, when I start up, let's say I start working with a client on social media and they ask me, what do you mean the different types of content and content diversity? Well, this is one of the reasons, because a good marketer knows that this is what's happening on social media today. I saw a video the other day, and I'm sorry, there are a lot of really long names with very many syllables, so I don't remember them. But the conclusion of a very large study was that the average person today is exposed to more pain emotionally, mentally, in one day than an entire lifetime compared to back in, say, the 50s, 60s. Go ahead.
Interesting statistic on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, between Facebook stories, Instagram stories, and Twitter, that the average person is subjugated to almost 1.6 gigabytes of data of something of depression, pain, or hurt every 6 hours.
Exactly. And I try to politely explain this when I explain to people why there has to be different categories of content, from inspiration, escapism, motivation, because knowing that your customer base is already exposed just by the nature of our society as it is today, people are exposed to so much pain, depression, bad news, politics, you name it. Those are the things toward which they will gravitate. Those are the things that they will bookmark. Those are the things they will hold on to and also share onto their own timeline, which is very good for you as a business. Now, one thing that I do want to say is this podcast is not about how to capitalize on this and make money from this. That would be sick and twisted. And if you're thinking that, please stop or find another podcast. What this podcast is about is helping you to make sure that never again is there a mistake made about your brand strategy and also about your marketing practices. Now, getting back to the client consultation I referred to, I said, well, where's your contingency plan? And there's some silence. And so I said, okay, well, have you heard of agile marketing? Well, explain it to us a little bit. Basically, when we as people, not just marketers, business people, consumers, just people as a whole, when we receive news like this, it's very often from social media. We find out, we're shocked, it hits the trending. You know, just recently we had RIP Anthony Bourdain, RIP Kate Spade. Before that, there were Chris Cornell, a lot of people. That's
Robin Williams.
Robin, well, obviously, I don't think there's a person in the world who doesn't know about that one.
And that one hits me hard. He was actually my icon.
Yes.
Growing up, being a San Francisco native. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Camille. Just when he took his life, it hit me hard. Very hard.
It hit a lot of people hard, and I'm hoping that the lessons in this podcast hit a lot of people hard and a lot of marketing strategies hard. Because my point is when this type of news comes through, yes, it's going to throw off your entire target audience. They are no longer looking at you as a brand. They are caught up in whatever's happening. So it's, in a way, it's sort of similar to some other types of unfortunate events that have become so prevalent in our society, like school shootings, for example. And I always have for my clients on standby simple but straightforward posts with candles, a heart, heart-shaped candles, our sincere thoughts and best wishes to the victims and families of the people of such and such shooting. And it's such a shame that we have to have that in our marketing strategies today, but it is what it is. And that's what I mean by agile marketing. Agile marketing used to just mean turning on a dime, being able to turn on a dime because of economic reasons, competitive reasons, maybe your competitor is having a sale. And these days, very quickly, things change so quickly. I should say grow, not in a good way, but they get worse or better, or they change so quickly that you need to be able to have a strategy that has contingencies in it so that you are literally prepared for every possible situation that could come out of the woodwork at any given time. And whether it's postponing your originally planned campaign so that you can implement the contingency plan, you're ready to do so, and you don't suffer a hit or a big loss because of that delay. Also, as a brand, as an organization, as a company, you don't look heartless or ignorant by trying to sweep it under the rug and ignore it altogether. The fact is, if it means something to your target audience, you need to give them what they want. That is one of the biggest mistakes I see with people who are trying to do marketing. They want to push what they feel people should want. Oh, well, I wrote this blog, or I wrote this article or this white paper, and it's one of the best I've ever written, so I really want to push this. Well, no. Stop for a minute and think, is this what people really want? And after we discussed the idea of agile marketing and how critical it is to have a contingency plan in today's day and age, and for some reason 2018 seems to be the pinnacle of this lesson in both life and in business. But the point is, there's also the idea of, again, how well do you know your audience? And you've heard me talk about this before, hopefully. If you didn't, welcome to the party. But the point is, how well do you know your target audience? And do you know what they love? Do you know what's important to them? They don't care what's important to you. You are the brand. You are the company. You are the seller. You need to give them what they want. And if they are crushed because they just lost a personal icon who has made them laugh since childhood, who seemed like a beacon of hope in people's lives, a source of inspiration, they are going to be very deeply affected by this. And this is how well you need to know your audience. I wish people would stop targeting based on age, location, and gender alone. No, there's so much more than that. And so, in a world where people are exposed to more pain in a day than they used to be exposed to in a lifetime, at a time when people are taking their lives left and right, at a time when people are more cruel than ever, it is imperative that you know your audience better than you ever have, and that you are not only implementing some serious agile marketing and having contingencies in place, and knowing your audience better than you ever thought you had to before. Mr. Williams?
An interesting thing. I was actually chatting with a friend of mine just a couple of moments ago online, and she brought up the television series, well, the web series, 13 Reasons Why from Netflix. And how, I can't name names, but Netflix actually had on their social media, she says that when 13 Reasons Why first showed, that they had a contingency plan set up for those that are actually affected by the show.
Smart.
And they had people that were monitoring all their social media channels, from Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And what they did was they had pre-designed responses for almost any type of contingency, such as, I just saw this show and I'm depressed and I want to kill myself, to, hey, you know, this stopped me from killing myself because I saw what it does to others. Now, on a personal note, depression is the worst thing you could ever go through. I've went through kidney stones, and kidney stones are not as bad as what depression is. And when you have a social media world, and whether you can control it or not because of your business or whatever the case may be, understand that whether your brand, your product, or whatever, there are going to be people there are going to comment hateful things. There may be someone that comments a beautiful thing saying, hey, I like your jeans, or I like your sandwich, and then some idiot from somewhere that doesn't care about anything is going to comment something hurtful.
Believe it or not, and I hate to play favorites, but you know there's one client that is my absolute favorite. I love these people. I love this company. I monitor social media platforms and manage engagement. And the smartest and most genuine, sincere, authentic thing that they do with my help is make sure that anyone who comments on, whether it's an ad, a boosted post, an organic post, anything, that it is a safe space for them to comment. So if someone says, I am going through XYZ, I am there like a hawk to make sure that that person does not get trolled by someone else who can hurt their feelings,
or worse, caused them to do something because they were the catalyst to it.
Exactly.
And honestly, you know, no one's asking you to have a psychiatrist on your staff or your social media team. But you got to be aware now, especially as social media is growing almost day by day. By 2020, 90% of all interactions will be done through social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever platform. 90% of interactions, such as family members talking, to people getting the news, to everything. This whole ordeal with Facebook, you know, and data mining and everything, guess what? Even if Facebook lost, they still won, because almost everyone goes on Facebook. People may leave Facebook, but they're still going to another social media channel to, you know, keep in contact with friends and family.
Well, here's the kicker with that one, Robin. Let me touch on that a little bit, because for a long time, everyone was up in arms about saying that, oh, Facebook is changing their algorithm. You'll see more posts from friends and family and less ads. And everyone's been putting out, oh, how-tos, how to combat that, how to get around that to make sure your brand message is still heard. And this was never announced to the public, to my knowledge, but guess what? It never happened. And let me tell you why. Facebook is smart enough to do their research before they roll things out. So before that plan to restrict the brand reach, I mean, it's already at 2% or less. So yes, it is still a pay-to-play platform. But one of the reasons that Facebook did not roll out that algorithm was because, according to their research, there were so many people who felt that by seeing more content from so-called family and friends would actually be detrimental, and they didn't want it. Uh-huh. Yes, listen to me. This podcast is about get real. Facebook actually decided to very discreetly not go in that direction because users expressed in research that they would be more troubled by seeing more from family and friends than they would from brands. And so understand that this means so much in terms of your marketing message, and it reminds me of a campaign that I had done for a client over the holidays, the 2017 holidays, just 7 months ago or so. The client, you know, what should we put out for the holidays, yada yada, and one of the biggest mistakes that companies and stores and e-tailers have been making for years now is they're still pushing this facade of the perfect family with a white picket fence. Yes, they're including more diversity racially, gender-wise, and things like that, but they're still pushing the idea of the perfect nuclear family that you would think of from the 1950s or the 1960s. The fact is, today, folks, over 70% of people spend their holidays home alone. Now,
and another interesting fact about depression, the depression is higher by 94% between the second week of November till the second week of January. And suicide is actually, I think, 81%, if I'm looking at my statistics correctly, 81% higher between those same, you know, that same time frame, which is scary. Now, another interesting statistic, in the past 5 years, that the cause of suicide because of this was social media was the number one answer. Not disease, not anything else like a breakup or marriage failing or whatever the case may be, but social media. Because others see more advertisements of people saying, hey, buy this, be with your family, do this, do that. Mm-hmm. Someone like me, I don't have my family here. I'm actually alone here on the Eastern Seaboard.
So it's like rubbing salt in the wound.
It's like cutting somebody open and letting them bleed out, stabbing their bones, fracturing it, and then rubbing salt into that wound.
Now, folks, what do you think that's going to do for your conversion rate? How much do you think that will alienate your target audience? Now, first, you know, let me step to the little quick digression here and say it is now mid-July 2018. If you are not thinking about your holiday plans in terms of marketing, get on it. Now's the time. Number two, get rid of that traditional, typical stereotype of the perfect family. The majority of people in the United States right now spend their holidays home alone. Now, a lot of them by choice. Why? Families have broken up, they've drifted apart, they've split up, they've had bad blood. A lot of that has been because of social media. Now, ironically, there is no decline in social media. The simple fact is that social media is like moths to a flame. Social media, people still will not break away from, even Facebook. They're not going to stop using it, so it still remains the fastest route between you and your target audience. But if we as business people, as marketers, as strategists, hang on to this archaic idea of the perfect family unit, the nuclear family, and everyone's happy and so on and so forth, you're going to alienate that target audience.
So, talking about that, and, you know, the best social media strategy is a strategy you and I have spoken about, a strategy that you've personally started implementing with your clients, is to have an intern. You know, you could rotate interns. Trust me, if you say that you can't find an intern, that's like trying to say going to Walmart and you can't find a bottle of Coke. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Having someone that maybe once every 8 hours, maybe once every 12 hours, maybe once a day, goes to all your social media profiles. And trust me, it is okay to hide a comment from someone that's being very mean or nasty. You know, you don't want to take away, you know, too many comments, but at the same time, if someone's just bad-mouthing someone, or someone's trolling, or someone's attacking someone, that could be potential clients that now you are losing out on, not only for the client that, you know, that potential customer that's being attacked, but others that are seeing that a brand is allowing a bully to bully others.
It's not only okay, it's a must, because what most people don't know is that when you hide someone's comment on social media, let's say that there's a post and Sally Mick Attitude Problem, I know that's a horrible name, but Sally Mick Attitude Problem decides to jump on to whatever post she can, probably because she's going through some stuff herself and she just wants to spread the hate or whatever the case may be. If you hide her comment, she is none the wiser. If she comes back to your post or your ad or whatever the case is, she still sees her post. She doesn't know that you have hidden it. But what it does is it protects everyone else in your customer base who will be exposed to that ad from seeing Molly McAttitude's problem, from, you know, ruining what would otherwise be a fabulous ad. Now, let me get back to another, what I was mentioning before, a holiday campaign that was wildly successful over the holidays. It was a client who was a life coach, and I said, you know, this is what's going on in the world today. The worst thing that you can do is try and put something out there to appeal to that archaic stereotype. These are the statistics of how many people are alone for the holidays. You're a life coach. Give them something about getting through the holidays alone. How to feel better about being alone for the holidays. And it was tremendously successful. People from different countries. This is not just a U.S. thing. I know that there are a lot of countries who are dealing with these human experiences much better than we are in the U.S. But even in other countries, people crawled out of the woodwork. Please give me that white paper. Please tell me more. Please, yes, I want to read that article. And it was very successful. So the point is number one, make sure that you are planning ahead now, because chances are, no disrespect, your marketing strategy is probably still clinging to that old picture of the nice nuclear family in the nice single family home or the nice luxury home, you know, with happy. Number two, have contingency plans in place. No matter what happens, whether it's political, societal, suicide in the entertainment world, personal tragedy, school shooting, have contingency plans in place so that not only can you roll with it, but you can also be just as vested in it as your target audience. They will value you for this. They will respect you for this. And number three, know your audience. You know, this is not meant to be a buzzkill of a podcast or a downer as a podcast. This is reality, folks. This is the world that we live in today. And so if you want to engage with your audience, you have to know who they are. You have to know what they're experiencing, what they're afraid of, what makes them happy, and what brings them into a dark place. And whether it's a car, a type of chocolate, a type of clothing, appeal to that sense of comfort that they so badly need. I mean,
I agree wholeheartedly, Camille. Another statistic is this, something before we end the podcast, is businesses that cater and are more empathetic towards those that are lonely, especially when they take a more active approach towards like depression and suicide and catering towards, you know, clients that are, you know, suicidal or depressed, they have a higher, and it sounds evil for me to say it, they have a higher retention rate of that customer.
You know, let me tell you something. People thought I was crazy when I went from psychology to business. And they thought that that was a crazy move. What do the two have together? And it has been, gosh, over, what, 15, 20 years now. I hate to age myself. But one thing that I have learned is that when it comes to business, it is psychology. It just has a price tag attached to it. That's the only difference. And I didn't want to name any corporate names. I didn't want to slander any companies. But there have been many who, over the last 5 years, come to report much, much lower numbers, huge losses around the holidays. And they're shocked, and their stakeholders are shocked. But it's because they're treating the holidays like a competition, a contest. Because you have so many loved ones and you're so surrounded by love that in order to win, everyone's affection, you need to buy this and buy that. They're completely alienating what's really going on. So appeal to the actual human experience of today. You know, if it's a pair of headphones, point out how these headphones, it's your world. You know, make it as clear, crystal clear as possible. You know, understand that they may not be buying gifts for others.
Very true. We're going to end the podcast. It's, you know, at the 35-minute mark. So we want to hear your guys' thoughts. Right now, best thing to do is probably use the hashtag AskCamille. So again, hashtag Ask Camille. Give us your thoughts. What is your contingency? And understand, when someone is depressed or suicidal and they come to your social media platform, it's not your legal responsibility to, you know, provide them help and get them out of a dark place. But just taking the moment, just a minute aside, having an intern or someone say to them, I'm sorry for what you're going through. You know, maybe we could go on a private channel and talk for a moment. you may be saving that person's life because you're showing that you give a damn.
Yeah, or have resources on standby. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, here's a number that you can call. Here are people you can talk to. If you can be ready for that, they will respect you. And talk about customer lifetime value. You just won the loyalty of that customer forever because they feel that you actually give a damn.
Yes.
And so this is just smart business, folks. That's all it is. And it's a shame that it involves such somber statistics. But this is business today. This is the world we live in.
And unfortunately, the suicide statistic is not going to go any time lower anytime soon.
No, unfortunately, it's not. So you can either, you know, change your strategy, wise up, accommodate your target audience, get to know them better, and be prepared for their engagement and their interaction. Or you can cling to what was and, you know, like Thanos did, he's eventually going to snap his fingers and you're going to watch your ROI disappear.
Yes. So again, guys, use the hashtag AskCamille. I want to thank you personally for listening to this podcast today. It was a little bit longer than expected. But again, any questions, comments, concerns, maybe personal experiences, feel free to PM Camille on any social media channel or use the hashtag AskCamille and we'll definitely address you and get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you everyone for tuning in. And like Michael said, like Robin said, reach out, chime in. That's what this world needs right now. Have a great night, everybody.